In 1980, we started studying the scripture, and it was a long story, and we were lost people. We were just searching. We were thinking, well, have we done enough good to outweigh the bad? And that was most of my life. We went through that and just concerned whether which side of eternity we'll be on when our end comes. And that was a big, big concern. And so in 1980 and 81, Levi Yoder sitting down here, his brother Glenn was our school teacher in our school. And I told Brother Glenn, I said, I'd like to have some scripture understanding. I'd like to know a little more about the scripture. He said, well, we're having meetings with Carl Hasty in Bowling Green and sometimes out at the farm, and why don't you meet with us? So we had to sneak together at night. About a half a year or so, we would get together about every week or every other week or so, and we'd get together about 10 o'clock at night, and I would begin to learn some scripture, and I found out that I was a lost man. I didn't really want to recognize that, but that's the way it was. And so things started moving from one thing to the other. I began to learn a few scripture, and so we got the English Bible, and the preacher found out about it, that we're having Bible studies, so we just thought, well, they preached on us, they preached against us, and we decided we better move to a new settlement. So a bunch of us moved to a new settlement, and there was two bishops that moved with us to Maywood, Missouri, about 60 miles north of Bowling Green, Missouri, where we grew up. And so we kept on studying the scripture there, and we would have Bible studies once in a while, and we begin to just learn and learn and grow. But we were not saved yet. That was in 1982 when we moved. But in 1983, me and Rachel got saved by studying the scripture and just having enough understanding, you know, that we just put our faith and our trust in the Savior, and we knew that we had been born again. So when we got born again, the rest of the Amish didn't want to have nothing to do with us. And the preachers came from Bowling Green. They came and said, well, you know, you can't be doing this. And the bishop came and the preacher came, and they would sit down in our house, and they would say, well, Joe, can you sleep all right? I said, no problem. And to Rachel, can you sleep all right? No problem. And 10 of our kids, we had 10 children, and they were upstairs and sneaking around the edges and watching what's going to become of all this meeting, and snickering around and trying to figure out what was going on. And so my brother-in-law was along with them, and he said, you ought to just see what he's got out behind his barn, a tractor. Oh, my goodness gracious. And he was all blowing up with this. And later he came to my wife and said to Rachel and said, if Joe wants to leave the Amish, you just stay here. You got to stay with the Bride of Christ. Just divorce him. Just forget about it and just let him go. And I said, no, we were studying the Bible. We wanted our children, our 10 children, we were concerned about eternal life for them. We had gotten enough scripture that we got saved, but our children were not saved. And then in 1983, we built a barn in August of 83, and we had a big barn raising, and we had already been saved. And the Amish thought, well, these people seem a little different. They've got rubber on the outside of their steel wheels of the wagons, and boy, there's just some things that don't look too good. And so they were really concerned about us. Well, 2 months later, we were having Bible studies, and Levi Yoder came out with a preacher from Ohio, and we came to the Yoders, and Levi's dad was Mr. Ura Yoder. He was a bishop, and he would even preach in the Amish before we moved to Maywood. He would say, well, eternal life starts in this life, and things like that the Amish didn't like too well. They did not like positive preaching, some real truth. But we were having Bible studies, and one night we were having we had a 2-day Bible study with Levi and his preacher, and just learned a lot of scripture, and we wanted to grow, we wanted to know the scripture better, and so we were having a Bible study at the Yoder's house. I can't remember exactly the timing, But we were having this Bible study. Of course, I said we had two bishops. The one wanted to study the scripture, and that was Mr. Yoder and Mr. Brookholder. He didn't want to study the scripture, so he was on the other end of the community. But that night, we were having a Bible study in the Yoder's house, and had a long table and had about four or five couples there, and a number of us that had gotten, that were studying and that. And so Mr. Brookholder and his wife walked in, and here we were with each one had a Bible around the table, and we were studying the scripture and talking about the promises of God. And so Pete Brookholder came in. We were good friends with him. His wife and my wife, we were best friends. But our knees began to shake, and we didn't know what all is going to become of this. But he came down to see if we can't prepare to have the Lord's Supper. I have ordinance command, gross command, and which is communion and orderly services. And here we were, and we got caught there, and then the cat was out of the bag. We were there studying with this Baptist preacher. And lo and behold, that's where it all started. And Pete came around and asked me and asked Glenn, well, what do you believe? Well, I believe that a person can be saved by putting faith and trust in the Savior. I don't remember if I answered exactly like that, but we knew the truth, and that night we decided we're going to take a stand, which we had been undercover for several years off and on, and so my wife, she stood behind me and said, you know, this is the break time, we're going to break, and so we went to the Amish church one more time, and then we had, they had after the service, we would counsel and that, and we would figure out that we don't belong here. So the Mr. Brookler said, now, if you all leave, he's going to have to call our parents. I said, well, that's fine. Whatever happens, happens. And he called our parents afterwards. We decided to leave, and for the next 3 months, we broke away from the Amish then. We never went back to the Amish church. And before that, I was, even in Bowling Green, I was extremely self-righteous. Like Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, so I was an Amish of the Amish. I never tried to crowd the rules, but I wanted to know the truth, which was real valuable, and to our 10 children. And we knew we needed the truth above all else. So left the Amish church there, we had our own services, and we walked over to the Yoder's house the first Sunday that we went, didn't go to the Amish church, and we sang songs like Amazing Grace and Will the Circle Be Unbroken? We had songs like that, and we were just cheered up. But then the next week after we left the Amish church, here come the Amish in the van load every Sunday to keep us from having our own services. And they came to persecute us and say, listen, you can't be doing this. This is all wrong. You're all going to hell. There's no question. My dad was a wealthy man. When they wrote us that, I guess you know you're not getting any of the inheritance. I said, well, I was out of a family of 15, and my wife was out of a family of 15, and here we were, no inheritance. I said, that's fine. That's fine. We all got an inheritance in heaven. So that's no big deal about that. And so we had our services over at the Yoder's the first Sunday, and we sang these songs, and Brother Glenn preached, and things went on. And then in January the 15th, we had an invitation to come to a Baptist church for an ordination service. And so we slipped over there and found out that the Baptists pretty much believe what we believe, and we started going there, and it was just a super, super blessing. And then our children began to make confessions of faith, and they began to understand salvation, and they got saved, and all 10 of our children got saved then in the next years. And after 3 or 4 months there, me and my wife and 5 of the children were all baptized at the same day. And things went on, and then our children began to feel like they have the calling. A couple of them became preachers, and we have two missionaries in other countries already for 20 years. And if we had stayed Amish, all that would just went to the wayside. And I cannot but just give God the glory for his wonderful, wonderful grace. And there was nothing that me and Rachel have done except just trust the Lord. And if there's anything I could say, it's be faithful and be consistent, and you never know how God will use your family. And I think for us that came out of the Amish, there's nothing a greater need than being consistent and know where you're going and know that you're in God's will. And I really appreciate Brother Joe here. He has done an unbelievable work working with the Amish. And I try to work with a number of former Amish. I know the truth. I can speak in the German or the English. I can witness in the German. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. But I really, really appreciate being able to be here. And I cannot but just be grateful to the Lord for his wonderful grace. I didn't quote any scripture, but the scripture is so valuable to us. I really believe that is how the Holy Spirit works. You know, in Revelation, brother from Pennsylvania back here, he quoted this in first book of Revelation. And to us, who has loved us, and has washed us from our sins in his own blood. And I think that's a wonderful scripture. It's just like hundreds of others. And the Lord has absolutely been so good to our family. I just really wanted to be here. I never was here before, but it was a real, real blessing. And I just praise the Lord for it.
Thank you, Joe. I ask Abe if I could have 2 minutes before we eat. You know, most of you paid $65. Those procrastinators paid $80. Okay. But isn't this worth the money? Now, I want to tell you something. All these speakers that you heard travel from hundreds of miles. If anybody in here would have any desire at all or feels the burden to give extra, earmark it to help pay for some of these just gas mileage. Honestly, the money that you gave to attend this conference was pretty much to cover the food. We have some left over, but I just had to tell you that. And Joe, spiritually speaking, I'm a grandson of you. The man that led me to the Lord came out there, joined that meeting, Paul Copeland's. He came back, drove a white horse. I was 15 years old, drove up and down the country roads and stopped into all the Amish farms and very quickly got labeled as a strange believer. On a January night, he and his wife and one small child crawled out of the top of their window while the parents downstairs were guarding anyone from entering. They had driven all the way in from Cashton, Wisconsin. They were sleeping in Paul and Miriam's bed in their home. That night, mom and dad and child crawled out of the window down, and some driver picked him up, took him to Kentucky. Later, that man led me to the Lord. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable.
Thank you. We have a haystack, so we're going to discuss.